It's time to learn about the music industry from the inside out. Welcome to Hip Hop National Radio.
Hip Hop National Radio.
Yeah, y'all know what it is.
Get ready to hear today's newest stars of hip hop, rock, pop, R&B, gospel, and more.
That's it.
Welcome to Hip Hop National Radio. This your boy Poetic, and tonight we got a good show lined up for you tonight. But before we get started into the topic, let's cover the show as we always do right here on Hip Hop National. Lord, thank you for allowing us to come together once again collectively as a community. That, Lord, as we communicate, we ask that you impart knowledge and wisdom from everyone who speaks on this program tonight. Lord, we ask that you bless every ear and every mind that's tuned in, locked and loaded to the program. In Jesus' name, as we pray. Tonight, guys, we're talking about understanding the misunderstanding of most artists' knowledge of music success. Don't get me wrong, a lot of artists feel simply because they have talent that they are to be discovered, and once they're discovered, someone find them, it will automatically get them into the success realm because the talent that they have is like no other. Unfortunately, that's not the case. It's not a lottery type of deal. You find a lottery ticket and boom, you're now an instant millionaire. Success in the music business don't work that way. It actually takes learning your craft and learning the knowledge of what it takes to get paid in this industry. How you take your music and protect your music and have to pay through the ropes of, as in the sense of protecting yourself, your copyrights, making sure your trademarks or whatever that you're taking into the marketplace is now being protected. Not only is it being protected, is it registered in the right places so that it will be monitored by the right people that actually create the income into your pocket. Tonight we're going to get into it. I'm not going to bring it from myself, but I'm going to bring it in from a different perspective. 909-936, I believe this is my guest. I didn't get your area code. This is my guest tonight. 909-936. Is this Michelle Latimer?
Hello, sir. How you doing tonight, brother?
Hey, how you doing, sir? How you doing?
Can't complain. Happy to be alive. You know, God gave me another day. He gave us all another day to praise his name, you know, and the skill sets and the gifts that he's given us. Because like you said a second ago, we are all unique, and we do all possess unique talents. I believe that, yeah, you kind of feel like you hit the lottery once you realize that you do have a gift. And once you have that gift, like you said, once you have that gift, you got to learn how to apply it and into a structure where you can funnel income, make income out of it. My name is Deviani Walker of MotivationalRealizations.com. I post my piece online all the time. But I do that as almost like free promotion. I usually do it to praise the Lord and to help others realize that we have no limitations. So often they put limitations on their own mind. So I just wanted to kind of like get some words of wisdom for you on, because I'm a poet, but I do spoken word pieces. And I just freestyle them off the top of my head. So me and my family have been rapping for years. But just some words of wisdom.
Hopefully we get you some freestyling tonight, you know. That'd be an awesome thing. But give me your opening statement based on the misunderstanding of the artist's knowledge about the music success. What do you understand about it?
As far as the misunderstanding, like you said, they think that it's just going to fall out the sky. It's like, no, you know, seeds in hand will not grow. You must plant the seeds. When I say plant the seeds, I mean you must form a structure. It's good to know that you have talents, but do you present it to others, and do they recognize you as a talent, as gifted? Because ultimately, you could be great in your own mind, but when you go out there, you might, you know, you might feel like you got it and you on top, but it's not received. Nobody else is feeling that vibe, you know? So ultimately, I feel like, yeah, you want to have confidence in yourself and feel confident in your art, but the misunderstanding is we're still farmers down here, man. You still have to grow your dreams. You have to grow the structure. You have to network. That's the key, is networking with people. Scratch someone else's back. They're sure to scratch yours, because I tell people, get in with people when it's just a vision, because they'll never forget you, because once they got it and everything is tangible, yeah, everybody's coming out the woodworks. Oh, I believed in you the whole time. But where were you at when it was just a figment of my imagination and I was trying, I needed help to bring this to fruition? That's why I tell people, get in, network. It's like, it's still grassroots. You got to grow your crops. You got to, he'll bring the harvest. He's already given you the seeds. You just got to plant them in faith, and he'll bring the harvest.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, I didn't catch your name again. Can you please repeat it?
Yes, my name is Ipiani. I'm on Facebook, Ipiani Lockhart. You spell that I-P-Y-A-N-I. Okay. I'm the owner of motivationalrealizations.com. You also can find that page on Facebook as well.
Ipiani, stay there, please.
Yes.
We also have my brother that's always here in the cut for me and holding it down. We got my boy, Raw Dog. We are expecting a guest. I think she's running a little late.
Okay.
You now have
the
floor.
Yeah, you know, hey, I think that this is a good discussion. You know, as the gentleman said, planting the seed. You know, when you think about the dimensions of what it takes to be relevant in this music industry, you come in as a rapper, you come in as a guitar player, you come in as a singer. You might come in as a dancer, but you have to evolve into becoming an entertainer. Because,
yes,
you see, a product is one thing, but to present you must be multidimensional to the point where you are an entertainer. You know,
yes,
when I think of artists, I think of Michael Jackson. And I think of, okay, when he was young, you know, his voice hadn't quite cultivated, but to see him, he entertained you, you know, and his talent grew, and he became that great icon because you didn't know what to expect to see. He entertained you. If it wasn't his vocal point, it was his dancing. It was the show. It was overwhelming because of the fact that it entertained you. It took you on a, let's put it like this, it put you on a carpet and you rode through the whole performance, and it was an event because,
yes,
you didn't know what to expect, and he was so multidimensional that you were overwhelmed by his show. So I would say let's talk about rappers becoming entertainers so that they become relevant in this music industry, like a Nicki Minaj. You know,
yes,
I have to give her props, because when you see her, you don't know what to expect.
Yes.
And you see this, you're entertained by the show. And so, you know,
well,
when we talk
Let's start from that perspective. You said being entertained by the show. Okay, awesome. We to the point that we have an awesome, talented individual that who can entertain us and give us a live show. So, we also have an individual that has already he's done a couple of his recordings, but as an artist, part of the misunderstanding, this is what I see. And this is what I want to talk about, too, is part of the issue is we have all of the material. We even have a talented, great artist that can give us a full-fledged show. But he hasn't taken care of his business.
Let's say Toni Braxton.
Okay.
Prime example.
Okay.
I mean, you know, Grammy, this and that and the other, and bankruptcy. You know,
yes.
We can't say the pitfalls that are going to be in someone's life. You know, we can't say that financial greatness or, you know, to become rich is going to be in their future. You know, that's like, you know, reading tea leaves, you know. So what we have to understand is that to be something in the music industry doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to bring wealth. Because, you see, you're mixing two points in that. You're mixing a smart business mind with the point of how you invest your money at the end run. You know, that's just like, you know, we could have talented people that are using other people's lyrics, other people's music productions, so everybody's getting a piece of the pie. You know, we have to look at this as a job.
Yes.
That you're earning income rather than the pitfalls of becoming rich. I mean, that's a dream. But let's just say
Keep talking. I'm going to check the line.
Okay. Just like we're talking about, you know, they can pay the rent. They can buy their food. They can make their car payment. Well, okay, that's a job. And everybody that gets into this music industry has to look at it as though it's a job and they want to secure an income. Whether it's off of their product of a recording, or their guest appearances as they, you know, display their talents in the public by getting into shows or tours or what have you. You know, we have to look at it in the point one of earning a living, not being rich, but earning a honest living, you know. And then once you take it into that aspect, you then have a basis to grow. But if you're just thinking about product to rich, you've missed a lot of steps along the way, like health insurance and car payments and child support and all kinds of things that can come in the way of making you poor again. You know, so we got to think about all of this because, you know, it's a wonderful industry, but it's just like any other job. Mistakes can be made along the way that no matter how much you're making, that you find yourself in the working poor, you know. So, you know, when artists think about this and they get into this, they have to realize that a smart mind and wise decisions and intelligence, the intelligence factor of knowing who you are, and not falling into the games that people play, you then have a chance for success. You know, take the example of TLC. We thought they were on top of the world, you know, and then come to find out they had a bad contract. So in their situation, they filed bankruptcy also. So when we start talking about, you know, if we could really, really look into the industry and all the artists that claim to be, we might find that they are working a job just like McDonald's. I mean, you know, but they have all the fancy clothes and the trappings and the travel, and they're in magazines and what have you. And we might find out that they're just making the same salary as a McDonald's employee.
Well, we have, I guess, Michelle Latimer, Hamtrak Productions, just showed up. So I want to bring her in. Let's bring her in for a moment. Michelle, welcome to the
show. Hey, everybody. How are y'all?
Good, well, good. Welcome.
Great.
That's good. That's good. I was going to chime in because I was listening. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Let me introduce you to a degree. I want to bring the reason why I brought you on as a guest today. I've been reading some of your blogs, and I have I found that you had an interesting perspective, actually, to share regarding the artist not doing their business or taking care of their business. So I wanted to bring you in. You could tell us a little bit about it. Now you got to go.
I'm sorry. One of the things that, and I do agree with the gentleman that was speaking earlier, that a lot of the artists, they come in and they think that it's just writing a song, not even necessarily writing the song, but just jumping on the mic, doing what they need to do, and then all of a sudden they're going to get rich in 24 hours. And I'm like, it doesn't work that way. One of the blogs that I wrote a passage, it was advising stop living in false realities. Because a lot of people will sell you the dream, hence, like you were saying, TLC. A lot of people will sit there and sell you a dream, but if you don't know the business behind it, you're going to get messed up very carefully. Even though a lot of people look at the TLC story, and I know I'm going to get criticized for this, but it's true, and I have to speak facts. In business, am I right or wrong? I'm not saying it's right or it's wrong, but in business, it is. You do capitalize on ignorance. Ignorance means the lack of not knowing. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So when you go to a car dealership or to a mortgage place, their job is to sell the house and the car, correct? Their job is not to tell you, well, you have to get an oil change on this time. You have to get this. You have to get that. You have to know the stipulations of mortgages and different ways that you can make your mortgage interest go down, so on and so forth. That a lot of people don't do that. That's why it's up to the artist and for you to be able to do some research as far as who to bring on your team that will be able to educate you on that. But you see a lot of artists now, they don't want to educate themselves on how to do copyrights, how to make sure to tag your song properly, how to, even producers, how to make sure that your song's registered with ISRC, different other things. A lot of them think that copyrighting a song is just registering it with ASCAP or BMI. I'm like, no. That gives you the right to perform the song in public. Granted, they do help you with your royalties and stuff like that as far as a paper trail, but you still have to go to copyright.gov and copyright your stuff. I think a lot of artists need to understand the business background with it because, in reality, people in the background, that's where you gain your income. That's how you keep more of your royalties, more of your money. Not just saying, I produced a song with so-and-so or I jumped on a song with so-and-so. And also, when you were saying something about branding, a lot of them don't know how to package themselves properly as far as their image, as far as what it is that they want to tell the people of who they are. A lot of them just cut and paste different things, put it on a flyer, and whoop, there it is. There's your image. It doesn't work that way. You have to, if you was to look at your stuff right now, would you buy it? That's what I always ask them. If you look at your stuff right now, would you buy your stuff right now? Because first impressions is everything.
All right. Anybody want to follow up with what Michelle just laid out for us? I appreciate that, Michelle. She came in and dropped their knowledge on.
Well, you can tell she's worked with a lot of different rappers because of the fact that she explained everything that I have ran into with rappers. Is that, you know, a lot of the things that she said as far as being in the business, they don't look at the business. They look at the point of, I made a product, okay? And instead of going through and making sure that they can get into the music business industry and selling a product, they skip steps. They're in a hurry.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's the unfortunate thing because it seems to only work in the hip-hop genre like that. Whereas if you were to take other genres where the people have put in the time and the work, like in R&B or you might even say rock or even country, they realize that they want to protect protect and to have the rights to what they have created. And the rapper seems to be one-dimensional, just the lyrics.
Yes,
you know, these are my words. They're not a complete unit. And so what happens is that the major people that produce rappers, like, okay, I brought up, like, on the BET Awards, Young Money, which is Lil Wayne, they have a conglomerate. They have the music creator. They have the studio. They have all of these things in place that they can get the proper business correct to promote, produce, and then bind together a group of artists that they can put on tour. So they're an entity within themselves, and this is what the artists, they're being so independent that they're going out and they're taking music from different sites, from different individuals, and they're not making a sound bond with their business paperwork that allows them to go into the music business. So when they do a one of the minor licensings, they're leaving out the other people that have a slice of the pie.
Yep.
And this is what's catching up with them. They don't realize they have to be a unified force. If you take each one and you look at how they came, you'll understand Death Row. You'll understand Dr. Dre. You'll understand Ice Cube. You'll understand Snoop Dogg. They had a conglomerate. And you're going to, you know, the people call it collaborating now. But collaborating is a small word. In the business industry, you have to have binding agreements so that you become a force to be reckoned with. Because if you as an individual are trying to stand up claiming something from somebody else, and you're trying to put your name on it, and then you're trying to get into the major world of music business, you're not going to get far.
You're not. So a good way that I sit and I tell people when I educate them, I try to give them something that they know. I'm like, if you know how to sell purses, candy, stuff like that, right? There's nothing, there's a persona about you that screams, I sell purses, I sell shoes, I sell whatever. It's the same hustle, different product in your hand, same thing. So I'm like, when you get your purses or your shoes that you have, you know, you go and you check out the market. You make sure to see if it's something that they wear, something that they're going to buy. You do the same thing with music. Also, I feel that a lot of them, which is why I admire Puffy Combs and his camp, Bad Boy and Cash Money and their camp, they educate their artists so that way they, too, can one day open up their own thing. Cause look at it. Cash Money, they made Young Money Cash Money. Then now you got Nicki Minaj, who has her camp that she's going to be coming out with soon. Then you have Drake. He's coming out with his label. You're educating the people under you so that way they can build an empire. Dr. Dre's people did the same thing. Death Row. I believe that's what it was. Death Row Records, is that what it was?
Yeah.
Death Row Records. When he came out, then you had Shady Records in his camp. Then you had G-Unit in his camp. You started out with your group. You educated them about the business aspect of it so that way they can go out and start their stuff.
Exactly. But you know what? They're still affiliated with their original camp.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's, you know, that's just like, okay, you raise your children under your household, and then you let them fly like little birds and spread their wings, but you're still part of the family.
Yep.
And see, there's how they make money. They don't hold a foot on someone like in the good old days and not allow them to understand, well, you know, you can build your own studio, and if you find talent and you want to bring them along, then once you feel that they come to the point of you want to present them to us, welcome, bring them. You know, so what they're doing is they're putting little satellite points of their people so that the one family can grow. There are percentages that they get from doing that and bringing their members of their stable to another level, and it's paper, it's money, and that's what the music business is about. You know, now that studios can be now in the digital rather than in the good old days where you had to have the real setup, they're able to do this. And that's the wonderful part about it is that, yes, if you're going to be someone to reckon with in this music industry, you have to take that point of being independent. I don't know why that they people hung that on the artist, but you have to be in the mindset of aligning yourself with people that are in the same direction with the same dream of accomplishment. And then you have to make the money fair.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, what you got to lose from the beginning, you know, you're on the ground in the beginning anyway. So, you know, if everybody rises, everybody becomes stronger. You know, so this philosophy of haters and what have you, you can't make a band. You know, musicians never use that word as haters. Oh, the bass player's a hater. Oh, the drummer's a hater. Oh, the organ. They all come together to create one sound.
Yeah.
I wanna go to this, guys. In a moment, we're getting ready to take a short break. But I did before I go there. I wanted to ask you. I think Ifeanyi, that's how to pronounce it? Ifeanyi?
That's correct, Ifeanyi.
Ifeanyi. All right, Ifeanyi, yeah. I think you mentioned something about structure, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, I did.
Now, my question is on that, is to an artist today, if their understanding is a misunderstanding of how they get there, what can we advise to them as far as getting started? And that's what I want to talk about. I'm going to let you go ahead and start it off, Ifeanyi. Then we're going to go to a short – actually, we're getting ready to go to a short break. That way we'll be on time. So I want you guys to really swallow on that and get – and you know, swallow your thoughts on that and then come back with fuel. I would really appreciate that.
No problem, brother. Thank you for the opportunity as well, sir. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, man. Glad to have you both here. Just to let you guys know, if you got artists that has music, please have them upload it to www.hiphopnational.com. That way we can interact with their music and start promoting it here. I hope this is not the last day that we get you guys to be on this program. Like, I hope this is the beginning. Okay?
Lord willing.
So, like I say, you're listening to Hip Hop National Radio. We'll be back in just a moment. I need you guys to stay with me.
Okay.
This is Honey Jacks, reminding you for the best tips and advice on the music business, tune in to HipHopNationalRadio.com every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 8 p.m. on the East Coast, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, and 5 p.m. on the West Coast.
HipHopNational.com. Hip Hop National Radio presents KO with their smash single, Cry Wolf, Cry Wolf. Photoshop.
I like it.
Dry Wolf, Mean Girls, Photoshop, Original, all hot songs from KO. To hear more from KO, that's K-A-Y-O, visit online at KOblowkisses.com. It's a one-stop shop to get all the hits and info from KO. KO, Dry Wolf, a hip-hop national radio exclusive.
Hip-Hop National Magazine has everything you love about being part of the hip-hop generation and more. The magazine has A-list celebrity interviews from Hip-Hop National partner, The Val the BB Show, style, fitness, news, health, craft, music from all genres, artist development, also articles with business decision makers on how to succeed in the entertainment industry. Read Hip-Hop National Magazine online and in print. Visit HipHopNational.com. Get your Hip-Hop National news from the number one source, Hip-Hop National Magazine.
This station is a member of BOB, Band of Online Broadcasters, powered by Cloud Radio.
All right, you're listening to Hip Hop National Radio. We would like to interact with you. We want you to upload your MP3 at www.hiphopnational.com. Get it on the program. We're getting ready to start our conference call feedback coming up shortly and soon. So you guys stay tuned to Hip Hop National because we're going to be bringing it back. Understanding the misunderstanding of most artists' knowledge of music success. Now, before we went to the break, I was saying, I wanted to start off with structure, okay? You mentioned structure, Ifeanyi. When it comes to an artist's understanding of this thing, what do you think the main mistake is in getting started? I'm going to start with you as far as the structure. What should they start and create first? You got four.
Well, I believe, like I tell people when I do my motivational speaking, I tell them if you want to run a business, what's the first thing you should do? You should go and talk to another business owner, someone that's already making his way down that path, because basically what the gentleman and the young lady has been saying is wisdom. And this is the wisdom that you should be seeking so you don't have to bump your heads. A lot of times you talk to people and they don't want to listen. They think they know it all. But they're getting ready to go fall into a lot of pitfalls, you know. So first, before you get started with anything, no matter hip-hop or whatever business or whatever you're going to put your effort and invest your time in, you want to make sure that you're seeking the wisdom and guidance, because you do not have to fall down certain holes. You could go and get the wisdom. I definitely want to get the information of the young lady, because I need some help as I'm going down this field growing my business, you know. I don't know everything. I've been blessed to have a dad that's owned a tax business for over 30 years, so on the tax side of things and counting the costs and everything, I've got that down. I do taxes myself as well. But just on the other aspect of protecting your material, protecting your slogans, because I do power slogans and I sell power bands, wristbands and stuff, and how to protect okay. yourself. So getting started, I would say seek the knowledge. Do your homework. You have to do your footwork before you jump off into the shark tank, because it is a shark tank, and people will take advantage of you. Ignorance, like she said earlier, ignorance, they take advantage of it. It's not hard to tell that some people don't have the knowledge or not, and they're easily manipulated if you don't know what you stand for.
And don't get me wrong, but that's how businesses thrive. They thrive off of ignorance. A mechanic strives off your ignorance of not knowing how to fix it.
That's the truth. That's the truth. You got to do your homework.
Knowing is the best thing. You can't say you know how to, just because you know everything. Know something about it or have the knowledge about it, I mean, you're capable of performing it as the same as that professional, but knowing the information will better position you on your business of operating, going into it, knowing that you're not being taken advantage of in this area. That's the business.
Very true.
Of music is knowing. Definitely, let's go to Michelle. I want to tell you guys, as far as connections and concerns like that, we connect right here on Hip Hop National. Please don't give out any personal information. That right there, they come back to us, and boom, we create that network. That's what it's about. That's what we do, being that you guys are first-timers to our program. Michelle, you have the floor.
Like the gentleman that just spoke, you said your name was Afani? Afini?
Wait. I give him the mic.
Ifiani. Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't want to pronounce it wrong. But just like Mr. Ifiani was saying, knowledge is key. Not to the point, not saying that you should know everything, but for me, if I dive into something, I don't care if it's a haircut, I don't care if it's a haircut or tying a shoe. I Google so that way I can get knowledgeable within myself what that person is talking about. And then I walk in the meeting and say, okay, well, what about this? Well, what about that? Well, what about this? Well, what about that? So that way, just like if you're going to get your car fixed, you want to at least have a little bit of knowledge of something, at least something, so that way you seem like you have a little bit of power. You know what I'm saying? So knowledge is definitely key. And find out within yourself why you're doing it. Are you doing it so that way you can get recognition, so that way you can get famous? Are you doing it for the love of it? Because the clients that I have, I ask them straightforward, why are you in this? Why do you want to do it? And for me, if it's not to the point that you're doing it because it's like breathing, because when you breathe, it's without a thought. I always ask them, are you like, not to throw scriptures into it, not like that, but are you coming into anything, whether it's baking or doing music, are you coming into it like a Job situation that no matter what leaves you right now, are you still going to be joyful for doing music or being a baker? That shows right there that you have a love for it, just like Job had a love for God at the time. I'm not trying to get religious or anything like that, but
listen, if you take it there, that's fine. This program, we support gospel, hip hop, pop, and R&B. And yes, this is a Christian program.
And I'm like, it's the same thing. Just like Job sat there and he lost his money, he lost his clothes, he lost his wife, he lost his everything. But he still had. He never took his eye off of God and what God wanted him to do. So if you're going into baking or you're going into music or you're going into whatever, do you have that same love that Job has? Because if you don't, I don't mess with you. Because I don't want it to be a situation where you sit there and you think that you're going to make a million off of, like, immediately. It's not going to happen that way. My cousin, he manages Ella Varner, Tyrese Gibson, Liv Ray. I'm on the Liv Ray team. And Alicia Keys, when she first came out, it took her 7 years. Are you willing to wait 7? Liv Ray, they're just now starting to get started. And they started out in, what, as a praise team in 2004, 2007? It's 2014, and they're just now starting to get the ball rolling. Are you willing to wait that? You have, what's that other team? 3-6 Mafia, when they first came out, it took them almost 10 years. Are you willing to wait 10 years, or are you going to give up? Because if you're about to give up, it's a waste of my money and a waste of my time. I can't do it. Do you have that love like Joe? And if you don't, this ain't for you. Maybe you should work at a job.
Huh.
I'm very blunt and very to the point.
Tell the truth.
No, but that's real, because when you think of the people that are in the industry that, you know, let's take it off of the people that are up front. Let's put it in to the group that's backing the people up, the band, the orchestra. Those people have been playing for 15 years, and they still don't have the spotlight. But they have the heart and the love of playing the music. That's what they...
Those drummers can't even play, if their arms was to cut off and the only thing they had were their toes, honey, they going to beat them drums with their toes. That's the love.
Exactly. I had guitar players that would fall asleep with their guitar in their hands.
Yep.
You know, it's something that's inside of that person that's their love. Just like you said about Job loving God, there's something inside of them that's part of who they are. And if it's not something that, you know, the rapper has grown up and can't shake, Mm-hmm. You know, and it's just part of what they do, rather making big money. It's just the part of their heart, their mind, their love.
Mm-hmm.
In time, they will be recognized. Their talent will be seen, and their heart in that talent. Because, you know, you've got to put emotion in what you do. It's just not a spoken word.
No.
It is more of a emotion. It's more of an influence. It's more of a mindset that actually people feel. And, you know, there are some artists out here that are doing music that you just don't feel. You know,
and, you
okay,
know,
I got to give that point.
They go broke very quickly. It doesn't build legendary. They fall off. Off the
oh,
map.
Yeah,
very
I was
going to
say Vanilla Ice.
Yep, they fell off.
but you're
Juvenile,
right on that.
Juvenile fell off. He went on an interview one time, and I used to be a Juvenile fan, still am, his old stuff. But Juvenile, at one point, he was on an interview on BET one time, way back when Rap City Basement used to be on TV. I can't remember what channel. Ooh, I'm old. But
Don't say that.
I think I'm the oldest one here, so hey, it's okay.
He said on the interview when they asked him, so what got you into doing music? For the money. That's all I really care about, the money. And ever since then, you haven't heard anything since. Never came back with a comeback.
Exactly. Because you may not be on the top of the list, but as long as you're relevant,
on the list,
you have a chance. You know
hey,
what I mean?
That's the truth.
This is a funny game. You know, that music is a very, very funny game because you're going to have your highs and you're going to have your lows. And you have to be strong enough and determined and dedicated enough to say, hey, it's going to get better. I'm going to get better. And keep creating, you know, and keep evolving, you know, because if you're thinking about, oh, I can get in it for 5 years and I'll become rich, no. There have been people that have been in it for over 20 years, and they're making a living, and they're comfortable. You know, if you have to look at America and you have to look at jobs. You know, what is it? You work until you're 65 and then you can retire. You know, so look at the music industry. If you're not going to get in it for the long haul, it's just not going to work for you.
Any industry.
Well, that's
any
true.
Industry as a business. And not only that, even though I think this with, not to interrupt your train of thought, but with a lot of them, they're like, okay, well, it's not a job. I won't be able to save anything to retire. Your publishing is your retirement check. If you have your publishing, if I was to sit here and say, Issiani, I got this song that I want to sell to you. You want to buy it? And you say, yes, I can sell it to you. That's my retirement money. I can use that for whenever I want. Not only that, with the money that you make from touring or cutting hair or chopping trees or anything like that, you can go and get your own IRA and just put money into it. So there's different things that you can do. There shouldn't be any stories of people going broke after 20 years or going bankrupt or getting served with papers and stuff. Knowledge yourself not only for the present of right now. Knowledge yourself of what to do in the future as well. That's why you should be very, very educated in what it is that you're trying to do and put some money away. So that way, if you have a situation like that lady from Sound of Music, when her vocal cords went out, sing for years. And her vocal cords went out. She couldn't sing again. But you see, she still had money. You never had a story of her getting bankrupt or anything like that.
That's the truth.
Well, you know, Nick Cannon said it. You know, he said, if you get into this business, the one thing you need to learn is save your money.
Yes.
You know, the business is all smoke and mirrors.
True.
You know, you wake up in the morning and you go in and, you know, you go to wardrobe and they've got your dress attire and all of that. They've got your makeup. You do your performance. Then when you're done, you take your shower, the makeup comes off, the wardrobe goes back on the rack, and you go back home. You got to remember who you were when you woke up.
That's true.
And you, what That's your true. Purpose was when you left out that door was to
Hallelujah.
Earn money so that you could have stability. Then
so
you
I
could
have
do
a question.
Anything.
So my question for you is, who do you think needs to teach that person that? Because in my eyes, I feel, and I don't want to throw a card out, because a lot of people try to throw cards out, if y'all get my drift. But
yep.
I think in a lot of other cultures, they teach people to, they teach their generation to make your money work for you. I think
yes.
in certain cultures, they teach you to work for the money. And I think that's why you see a lot of hip-hop artists, not to generalize anything, but I think a lot of hip-hop artists, even some R&B artists and some jazz artists and so on and so forth, I think a lot of them spend and do irrational things because when you grow up not having, when you have it, you go nuts.
Yes.
And then it's gone.
Well, you know what? Now, here's the catch. When I grew up, the philosophy that they taught me about money was that the question they presented was, how do you spend the same dollar more than once?
Mm-hmm.
You invest that dollar. You invest that dollar in something that is going to bring you a return. See, the young folks have flipped it to the street and drugs. But that's
mm-hmm.
not necessarily the way it's done. You know, they used to say, well, you know, you can invest in commodities. You know, getting a business and going to a wholesaler and then finding a product that you could actually sell legitimately.
Mm-hmm.
That same dollar, you can spend it more than once and it keeps growing, and you can spend it more than once and it keeps coming back.
Yes.
You know, in when I took business in college, that was the professor brought that out, and he said, well, you know, that's what businessmen do. They spend the same dollar more than once. Just like all these young people getting into the music industry and wanting to be artists, they could start a business,
yes.
whereas it is a music business that they're promoting and they have. When we talk
mm-hmm.
about branding, literally what we're talking about is you're going into business.
Yeah.
And so what happens is that they don't realize that with a business license and a tax number, you can walk into a music store and purchase equipment without paying taxes, some of it at wholesale, or you can go straight to the distributor. Because
mm-hmm.
you have a business license. You know, a lot of people, now here's something, now I don't know if everybody knows this or not. Let's say you have a Walmart, you have a Target, you have a Guitar Center, you have a Sam Goody. If you go online and you see the price of something at these stores and you find it at a cheaper price at another competitive store, all you have to do is print it up and walk
mm-hmm.
in store that was selling it at a higher price and say, hey, you know, I can walk over here and get this at this price. Did you know they'll sell it to you for that other price?
Yes, the honor.
See, this is what the young folks aren't taught. They're not taught the fact that, you know, stop spending money to impress other people. Start investing
mm-hmm.
in your life. Start understanding that everything that you do once you become an adult is business. Just like like Michelle was saying, buying a house. What's the paperwork? What are the terms? What are the catch-22s? Buying a car, being required to have insurance on that automobile. You know, these type of things are what people need to know just as a survival tactic. Not only in the music industry, there is another element they have to learn. You know, so when we start trying to educate rappers and what have you and all the people trying to get into the music industry, understand this is a business. The licensing, the copyrights, all of these things are different things that you need to understand. And if you don't, you're going to have to align yourself with someone that has that knowledge. You know, don't be a afraid, understand only one person can do so much. Only one person is so strong. But a team of qualified individuals. And yes, there are sharks. I heard the other gentleman speak about the sharks. Yes, there are. But, you know, I got to say it like this. With God.
Hallelujah.
And an intelligent mind.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully you will be steered on the proper path and the sharks will fall to the side.
Hallelujah.
And not only that, you can't sit there because, all right, I already have a strike against me. I'm a woman in the industry. So a lot
but
of
you,
the,
you
a lot
know
of
what?
Women,
I got to tell you
I mean,
something.
It's the truth,
women
though.
Women are getting
it's
stronger
the
in the industry, though.
You know what? Women
you
are good
network.
At, yeah, we do, we do. But a lot of men think of the industry when a woman comes along as a dating service. And I have a thing that I can't even say it on the air, but I'll say dogs don't have nothing. They can't pay bills. I can't go into a bill collector and pay it with a dog. I'm sorry. But to get back on topic, a lot of the hip hop artists, they're strung out now on getting mixtapes. In my eyes, I'm like, a mixtape isn't anything. A mixtape ain't nothing but a thing. It's like training wheels on a bike. It's just to test out a song, see if people like it, and you know that's what you push first, second, third. That's all a mixtape is. If you're going to put it on a mixtape, make sure it's somebody who has a fan base in order to make sure that you're going to gain fans from it. If you're going to sell a mixtape or something like that, you can do that, but chart your sales. If you're going to sell it to somebody in cash, make sure you port all your sales to SoundScan. SoundScan, I believe, or MediaBase, one of the two. But make sure you...
Michelle, I got to ask you this. You said that they can sell the mixtape. When you said that they can sell a mixtape that has copyrighted music on it from some other artist that they found that they used the music and they just rapped over it or they sung over it, you mean tell them they can sell it?
No. You have some that, and I should have clarified that. You have some that have music that they have made themselves, and they want to put it on a mixtape. That's not a mixtape. A mixtape is like the old school back in the 80s and the 90s where you rap over somebody else's beat and you do whatever.
Now they're
doing it where they have their own songs that they've done originally, and they sell it as a quote-unquote mixtape. That's like the new trend now. And what I tell them is if you're going to sell an album, we'll take mixtape out of it. If you're going to sell an album, period, make sure you track your stuff and report it. If it's cash or whatever, report it. Because not only can you, if you do your paperwork right, can you report those sales as earned income on your taxes, it's going to make you look good. So that way when you walk into a Walmart or you walk into a Target or walk into any store, mom and pop store or whatever, you can just throw your graphs on the table and say, it's sold, this. I want to put my stuff in your store. It's going to make you look good. You can sell all the tapes and records and all that stuff out of your car all you want. The only thing business people care about is numbers. That's it.
True.
I don't care about nothing.
I want to jump in on something because, you know, I find that there is a wrong thought and a confusing point when the young folks say that they're putting out a mixtape and having their own CD, because you see, the definition that we are getting from a lot of artists when they say mixtape, they are using other people's music.
Yes.
See, I understand what Michelle said, because she's disqualifying anything like that coming to her. Some artists are calling their album a mixtape. But it's not. It's more of their own CD. They've created their own music and what have you, and they own all of it. But see, we're getting a lot of submissions that they say that they're on mixtapes, but they don't own the music.
No.
That's where I think coming out and defining what a mixtape is. so that the young artists understand because they're confused. See, that's where we talk about intelligence. You know, this is where they are confusing each other by the terminology that they're using to qualify what they've done. And, you know, they need to come to the point of understanding this is my album and stop using that mixtape statement because they're getting thrown in with the rest of the people that have used someone else's music.
And wonder why nobody's taking them seriously.
Yes,
may I chime in?
All right. Exactly right.
Before you chime in, my man, I want to introduce you guys to an avid listener to the program. Quinn, he wanted to commend you guys because earlier I pulled him in the background. He said that you guys were giving him some great information. Quinn is an artist himself. Quinn, go ahead. Tell him where you're calling in from, Quinn, and tell him, give us what your thoughts are so far.
Well, I mean, you know, my name Quinn. I'm calling in from a small town called Terracan in Georgia. You hear me? And I want to say, you know, I'm learning a whole lot, you know, on the show tonight. And it's an excellent show. It's an excellent show all the time, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm learning on a whole lot. And you know, my dog, Raw Dog, and our friend Michelle, I want to give y'all props, you know, cause y'all really, you know what I'm saying? Y'all really did it. Yeah, y'all really the one that made me raise my hand because, you know, y'all were talking about something real. You know, y'all were talking about a lot of artists out there, making one hit, you know what I'm saying, and quit. It's a lot of artists out there, you know, feel like they've been in the game, you know, for some quite a years and you know, feel like they the man, you know what I mean? And, you know, y'all really, you know, made some, you know, good statements, man. And you know, you were talking about, you know, how not to get, ripped off, you know, about the TLC situation. And it was just real because, you know, hey, a lot of artists do fall short, man. A lot of artists out there make a hit and quit, and it's just like a job, you know. You can get a job, and you get your first paycheck, you out of there. You know what I'm saying? You ain't in there no more. You know what I'm saying? But see, the thing that I liked about what Michelle had said, and that was real about, you know, are you willing to wait? You know what I'm saying? And it was how long it took a lot of artists. You know what I'm saying, to come up and get right, you know. A group, you know, once a group get in the industry, man, and seven go down, you know, that's the first thing they're going to do, man. They're going to quit because, hey, ain't no money making no more.
True.
And how I feel is me, it's no retirement, and I'm an artist myself. You know, I'm an unsigned artist, you know what I mean? I'm going to be straight up with you, you know. I'm an unsigned artist, and me, and if I, you know, I do my thing in the music, you know what I'm saying? I try hard and do whatever, you know. But, hey, me, I'm willing to go all the way, you know what I'm saying? Because a gospel singer said, it is no retirement in God's services. So, me, I don't believe in retirement. You feel me?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
That's what I like about you,
man. I like how y'all, we all bring church to this show, but, hey, this is great.
You got to, man, because see,
it's
you
the truth,
see those that ride without God can't ride with me.
Praise the Lord.
I love it.
I mean, it's real, you know, because like I say, man, a lot of artists will get there and quit, man. It's all about getting there and stay there, you know. And when you out there and when you make that music, you got to have that real music, man. You got to have that music gonna last forever. You know, a lot of people, you know, you got a lot of artists out there right now, man, to put anything together, man. You see me? I don't put anything together, man. I want to go in there with the best. You know what I'm saying? And you got a lot of artists out there, brothers, that go spend $10 or $20 find somebody to make a bootleg video. You know what I'm saying? Instead of paying, you know, $150 or $200, you know, almost, you know, put your money behind your music, man.
Yeah. Invest in yourself.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you can spend money on shoes and on an outfit, because if somebody talks to me about marketing and they're like, all right, well, I don't know about the price. It's too expensive. I'll be like, you know what? That's the price I charge. Oh, yeah, by the way, I love the new Jordans you got on. The price is still the same.
Exactly.
It's the truth.
You know, that reminds me of I found a musician standing on the corner with a hat on the ground. And a group of people crowding around listening to him. And I recruited him for a band that I had. And he became a showstopper. Because if he could draw people on the street by himself with a hat on the ground, when he got on stage, he mesmerized the people with his talent. And you know what? I'm going to tell you like this. It's not always about the money. It's about the heart and the love that that person has for what they're doing. Because you got to sacrifice. You know, it's the point.
That's kind of what Michelle said earlier. You know, can you do this without the money? You know.
And,
right here is the time that we usually take a break. So we're going to do that for a moment. We're going to pause for the calls and tell you guys got businesses that you're trying to support and you want to get the word out, interact with our audience. We've grown this show to over 1.3 million people who have tuned into the program. We definitely want to promote and help market what you're doing alongside with what we do. Just like we said, this is business too. You guys go ahead and just go to www.hiphopnational.com. Have them upload your music. There will be a button there soon that's going to say if you just for advertisers, and then you can click that button. But we are growing, and we're spreading our wings, and we want to spread our wings with you. You stay here. We'll be back in just a moment. Understanding the misunderstanding of most artists' knowledge of music success. We'll be back in just a moment.
Forever Memory Blankets, the place where you can turn your photo into a masterpiece. If you want to live like the stars, then here's your key. These are one-of-a-kind creations. Our portfolio includes Dwayne Wade, Music, Slim Thug, Teresa Budon, Bun B, and so much more. All you have to do is log on to www.fmblankets.com. That's www.fmblankets.com. Or you can call 214-403-1524. That number again is 214-403-1524. And tell them Hip Hop National Radio told you to give them a call.
You've got 5 minutes? I've got That Celebrity Interview. Hi, I'm Valder Beebe, host of The Valder Beebe Show. Join me daily for my new brand, That Celebrity Interview. I get the opportunity to chat with the world's most fascinating people. I interview actors and directors and entertainers, celebrities, and everyday people on important topics and issues and life-changing causes. My interviews are authentic, revealing, and personal with my guests, who are in a 21st century mode. They're either in studio, by phone, satellite, or in exotic locations. I've interviewed people in Istanbul, Israel, London, all across the globe. Tune in daily to That Celebrity Interview. Go to valderbbshow.com for broadcast locations of That Celebrity Interview. I'll see you there.
This station is a member of BOB, Band of Online Broadcasters, powered by Cloud Radio.
And we're back. You're listening to Hip Hop National Radio. It's your boy, Poetic. And tonight, guys, we're talking about understanding the misunderstanding of most artists' knowledge of music success. Okay, I would say this, guys. When it comes to it, we were talking about, I wanted to hit basics on the basics of structure. And, Michelle, I really didn't get your take, and I wanted to ask you, as a business exec in the business, what would you say an artist need to do as far as a setup of structure, setting himself up as a structure of being able to do business?
Where absolutely. Do we start? As a structure, first you got to make sure, like I said, that you have a passion for it. The second thing is make sure that you put your best foot forward. The same way that you go out on a date so you can look cute and pretty and all that other nonsense, make sure you have that same thing when it comes to your product. Your music should be produced on point. Your mixing and your mastering should be on point. It should be radio ready. You have to ask yourself when you put out a song, test it out not with your friends. Test it out with on SoundCloud with some complete strangers. Whatever one has the most numbers, you push that out first, second, third. And then ask yourself, is this product, if I wasn't me, would I buy my own stuff? Then you have to make sure that you understand that as soon as you step in the booth and you start paying money for studio time and the rest of that, you are now a business owner. When you start doing shows and getting paid for it, go ahead and give them a W-2 form. I need you to fill that out right there. So that way you can start that way you can start filing your taxes and stuff like that at the end of the year. You are now a business person.
That's the truth. You have to see yourself as a business, like she's saying. You have to see yourself as a corporation, as a conglomerate, and you have to make your decisions because we, in the truth of the matter, we are all businesses. We go out and work whatever job we work to get the money that we need to address the bills that we have to pay. We are a business, and you have to get into the mindset where you see it that way. What I wanted to say earlier about how Michelle was saying about the passion, the love, If you should be able to be doing this, if it doesn't matter if you make money or not because you love doing it. And then once you get to that place where you're not focused on the money and you're doing it for pure love, he'll bring it to you because he knows that the focus is not the money. For me, my focus is to praise the Lord, you know, in all I do because throughout this life, and like the brother Quinn said, till he call us home, there ain't no retirement. We retire when he call us home. Until then, it's working, but work in praise, you know, for this gift of life and the talents that he has given us all, you know, and share your talent. And it will heal others, and it will open up doors for you, and it will be blessed. He will order your steps. He truly will order your steps.
Okay. That's sort of where I wanted to go with you guys as far as the structure is concerned. Part of the structure is Raw Dog mentioned earlier. He said that, you know, you got to become a business. And I think, Iviana, you just touched notes on it when you said corporation. You got to think like a corporation. But reality, you have to start to set up. You have to set yourself up as a business. Rather, you are a sole proprietor, a LLC, or a corporation. And then you have to set yourself up a board of directors. In this case, as a record, I mean, you don't necessarily have to set yourself as a record company, but you got to think like a record company if you're going to go into this independent age as a business. And record companies' traditional way of a setup was these are departments that they had. They had an A&R department. They had promotions department. They had marketing. They had people who deal with media. And in our days, we're dealing with the new media, which is social media. We're looking at Facebook, Twitter, and all of this. But Facebook and Twitter is just a false a perception, and YouTube is a false perception of success. It's not really the reality of your success. Just because you got so many hits, don't make you a star.
That's true.
I think Michelle.
I think you need to say that one more time because I don't think people heard me when you said that.
Don't get me wrong, because your hit count is hitting major numbers, and that don't mean your pocket is all your bank account is hitting major numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's reality. That's just reality.
It is.
So you can sit there and fake it and tweak it all you want to. It doesn't do anything to the bank account.
Yeah, because you can't eat.
You got to put it like this. You know, in the beginning, it might have meant something.
Yeah.
At this point, they're just overwhelmed with people perpetrating that they are a star or that they are relevant. You know, so at this point, those statistics are really meaningless. I think we had someone on the show in the past that, you know, said, yeah, on YouTube, they had so many hits and they had a video. But in reality, when that person, they interviewed that person and what have you, they had no stage presence.
Mm-hmm.
You see, the dimension, we talked about multidimensional. You've got to be an entertainer.
Yes.
See, this is a business, and when I made this statement about a conglomerate, what you have to understand is that an individual has to have that team of individuals that are wanting to rise together. See, I understand what you're saying, but in the same point, you've got to have a foundation.
Hallelujah.
When we talk about a business, you know, not a lot of the rap artists don't create their own music, so they need the paperwork in allegiance to have a product that they can sell with whoever created the music. Now, we talk about these leases and all of this that people can buy, and yes, some of those will allow that artist to have a binding agreement so that he can sell his music in the mainstream. But that's business. That's forming an alliance with someone else in doing a project or a product. See, you've got to have all of this paperwork together so that you have your business foundation so that you can do business.
Mm-hmm.
It's like having a tax number. It's like having a business license.
True.
You know, so when we talk about all of these things, you know, I get rappers all the time that send me different things and what have you, and I go, I can't do anything with you. I can't refer you to anyone. I can't tell you who made the music. Who did the background singing? Do you have the people sign off on all of this? So, or are there percentages that they expect if you're going to try to market this product? You see,
mm-hmm.
they don't come in with that spreadsheet that's necessary to know what you're representing with this product and how, if it is something that you're going to market, are there any catch-22s like Will.i.am that got sued for using a sample, you know, like Robin Thicke. See, it's not only the little people, it's the bigger people too.
Yeah. And
so you got to understand this music industry because it's about, if you make it, people are going to come out of the woodwork.
Yes.
And they have a right to.
Mm-hmm.
And then how's the money split? Mm. You know, you might have a hit, but they might get all the money.
Yeah. You had a hit.
You're going home to your mama's house. And that's something I try to tell people, too, because, you know, friends, y'all better start separating friendship from business, spouse from business, because with women, what's the first thing we go after when we get mad at y'all? Straightforward.
Ooh.
I mean, I'm keeping it all in.
Money.
I mean, it's the truth, though. Women go after money. Men, they go after embarrassment. But friends, when you can sit down at a table with somebody and say, oh, yeah, all of us did the music, and no, we're not going to worry about paperwork if you want to. When they see you get on stage making $1 million and they're looking at their spam and cheese, and you're sitting there eating steak and lobster, they're going to knock on your door with some paper saying, I need you to give me some of that. But there's nothing you can do if you don't have paperwork. What can you do?
Well, you know what?
Yeah.
Do you watch the, what is that, Love and Hip Hop in Atlanta and Stevie J? He just got arrested because he had $1 million in child support owing.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
All the time, she probably was quiet. And then when she seen him on TV, she was like, let me get that. Let me get that right now.
Your hire is right.
All right, guys. She just taught us how to ABC. So turn around and shout 1, 2, 3 because I'm telling you. She just laid a golden egg on me.
Hey. Hey, you know what? And the funny part about this is, and we better let rappers know this, you know, all the pretty ladies out in the club, the male rappers might think they have game, but looky here, females have more game going than you ever thought you would see in your life. You know,
that's the truth.
I'm gonna tell you, I was out there. I was an artist. I was an entertainer, and what have you. And I thought I was on top of the world. And let me tell you, I realized and learned the game that was not for the male. The women got it tied up. I gotta say this one last thing. When you go to child support court, look up at the judge. You're going to realize it's a woman.
It's because men are taught to, if you look at a lot, I'm not married, but if you look at a lot of relationships or whatever, even in the Bible it says that men take care of the household. Men bring home the bacon. It's the woman's job in order to find out who we're going to cook it for, how many people we're cooking it for, how are we going to prepare it, what time are we going to prepare the food, so on and so forth. We're planners. So, yeah, of course, if there are some women that want to run game or anything like that, it can be very easy because men just look at one thing, not necessarily on a physical standpoint, but they're looking at the hunt of it, the go getting the bacon. Women, we already have it planned on our head what we're going to do within, like, 7 minutes of knowing, period, end of discussion. That's just how it is.
Can I tell you the truth about a male? We
go
have
ahead.
Two heads. And the one that stands up the tallest, isn't always the one that's thinking, okay?
And they both don't talk.
That's why I sit here and I tell, if I have any clients that come in and they're spouses, I tell them straightforward. I look at the woman because I know we can get offensive very quickly. And I'd be like, I don't want to offend you. And I look at the guy and be like, what is the first thing women go after? Y'all need to sit here and have a conversation, not here, but in private, and come back after you figure out what you're going to do. As far as if you guys want to be in business together, or even if you want to be in business with your friend or what have you, make sure you have an understanding that when there's summer and paradise and rainbows, you know how it's going to work. When there's thunderstorms and or a tsunami and stuff like that, you know how to handle it then. Because what you don't want is a situation where you have people fighting over the percentage of the song because you don't have your paperwork in order. You don't want it to be a situation that if she decides to quit, like a company that I know of, if she decides to quit because you was doing stuff you ain't had no business, or even vice versa, that you have an understanding of, okay, when this person leaves, you can't do anything in that profession for a year, or you can't do anything or quit for 7 years or something like that. You have to have something in place so that way there's a partnership or a corporation or some type of agreement that lets you know, okay, the sun shines and rainbows now, but when the storm comes, what are we going to do? That's just reality.
That's the truth.
And I agree with that. I definitely agree with that. That goes back to that Candy Burris when she got married and the prenup.
Yes,
you know?
She said, you need to sign it.
Business is business, and you have to realize that, you know, in this, you know, if you have a mate that, you know, you need to know your relationship and how solid it is and how your mind is set so that you don't destroy your relationship and find out you destroyed your business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's terrible. And one thing I tell people, if you're going to go into business with somebody, and everybody to each their own, everybody can do what they want. We're all adults. But I'm like, if you want to go into business with somebody, don't look at how they're acting right now. Look at how they react when something bad happens to them. That'll tell you everything you need to know. If they're revengeful, you need to make sure they sign on the dotted line. I need you to sign here, here, here. So if there's any issues or anything like that, you already know what's going to happen. Like, you really got to look at stuff like that.
You just gave the example of the owner of the L.A. Clippers, him and his wife in court, because she's got a sale for the team, and he's fighting the sale of the team. You know, that's a prime example right there of how the relationships and business can have issues. And, you know, the money, you know, even though she's making a profit for him, he doesn't want to let it go for that price. And he's fighting her. And look at the court fees. Look at all the money that they're going to lose behind the point of let's sign on the dotted line and gain $2 billion. You know? Yeah, I think it's ridiculous because of the fact, one, take the $2 billion. You know it's a profit from what I think he spent, what, $14 million for the team? And but now they're going to get $2 billion. And you're taking it to court and you're paying attorneys. They're going to have to get paid. So you're taking money out of your $2 billion. And you still, the judge might say, hey, okay, hey, sell the team. You lost money. So, you know...
Not even that. To take it a step further, not to interrupt your train of thought, but to take it a step further, look at when James Brown passed. Now, I don't know verbatim, and I don't want – don't quote me on it, but with them, you don't know what their paperwork was after he passed. You know, in certain companies, if something happens to somebody or something like that, the rest of the stock goes to the other person or however you want to set it up. As far as the terminology in the contract. But with him, you have the family sitting there fighting over the money, fighting where to bury him. One wife is like, I'm wife number one, I rule. You're just the girlfriend. The other one's like, we have common law, and so on and so forth. It just causes a bunch of drama. Just make sure that when you do music with the producer or the writer or what have you, make sure you have all your paper trail intact. Like I tell people, keep one on your desktop, keep a paper copy, one on your desktop, one in your email address, and one in Google Drive. So that way, if your house burns down, you got your computer. If your computer tears up, you got your email, so on and so forth. So
a backup plan.
Because a backup to back up your like when you buy them Girl Scout cookies. You buy one pack that you won't share with nobody, and another pack to back up the pack you won't share with nobody. Yes, honey, I be having four on deck. Don't touch it.
The one in the room, the one in the refrigerator.
I gotta ask the gentleman this question. Maybe we're not understanding business at that level of $2 billion. Will they be able to deduct the attorney fees on their taxes?
Good question, brother. I'm not into corporate tax. And I know that sounds like more of the corporate structure. I'm really just do like personal taxes. I would say in a personal standpoint, yeah, you could deduct your legal fees. Yeah, you could take it right off your legal fees. I don't know why you couldn't, but that's really the corporate side of things. But in my mind, I would say yes, but don't hold that in stone. Don't say the guy on the radio.
No, why?
Okay, somebody
won't
send them papers to me and say, well, I said.
Yeah, well, you know why I asked that is that after I thought about it, I said, well, okay, now I'm not in this big financial point of $2 billion, but maybe that's a tactic so they don't have to pay so much tax on that money.
He's just talking about $1 billion. He's talking about $1 billion, right
now? No, $2 billion. It's $2
billion. Yeah, you don't have $2 billion, but you have a couple million, right?
Well, let's put it like this. I've been through a couple of days in my lifetime.
I'm comfortable.
Yeah, and I think each one of us has been through $1 million in our lifetime at this point. You know, you count the money that you've been through.
Every person does make over a couple of $1 million in their lifetime just working regular jobs.
Yeah.
To chime in on what we were saying earlier, it's about when you get all this money, like if you don't have discipline with a dollar, please believe, you know, I says a fool and his money are soon departed. I say when I do my motivational speaking, I tell people, like, the fool with a dollar, he's kind of blessed because if he had $100,000, that destruction would be on him much quicker. You got to learn how to get that penny victory first. Grow that penny. Multiply that penny. Then he'll bring you the nickels. Once you learn how to multiply the nickels, he'll bring you the dimes, and so on and so forth. You got to learn how to grow the money, like you said, the economics of how do you spend a penny more than once. You have to reinvest it. The main thing that we have in this realm, in this life, is time. this is all we have is this time. Now, how are you going to invest your time, or are you just going to let your time pass by? Because regardless of you doing something or not, the window is closing. You know what I mean? So you have to invest your time. Go ahead, sir.
You know, you're right. You're really right. And I enjoy hearing you, because I think there need to be more people speaking to the young people. But you know what creeps into the psychological part of all of that? It comes from a song, and I forget who did it, but it is "Let the Good Times Roll."
Yeah.
You know, when they may start making money, that's the mindset. Let the good times roll. You know, and I hate to say it, but I don't know where that came from. It was a terrible, terrible phrase, and it should not have been submitted so that people could, like, breathe it in like air. But that's the mentality that happens if they start making a sizable portion of money. They forget. And it's "Let the good times roll. Let me have lobster instead of spam." You know? And why? Because is lobster any more better for you than a good spam sandwich?
It's all food.
But if you let the good times roll, you're paying, what, $50 in a restaurant for lobster and the whole works, whereas spam is, what, $4 a can in the grocery store? See, the difference is that, you know, the smoke in the mirrors.
True.
What they think they've been deprived of wasn't anything at all.
It was not. It was an illusion. They've been fed. They're here to this point in time. They're
exactly.
Here, like we all are in this now, right now, the same humanity that's been here throughout the ages, and it's built off the backs of humanity as it's being built off our backs right now as we speak. And I believe that all of us here that are speaking like this, nothing is happenstance down here. It's all purposeful. And it's no surprise that we're praising the Lord, you know what I mean? And it's his tone of voice, his tone of love. To me, that's when I talk to people, I like to look people dead in their eyes, because like I ask people, hey man, how you doing today, man? I'm happy. Like, the flesh lies. The flesh tells on itself. You're supposed to hear it in the tone of their voice, the smile of their eyes. And to me, that's how I gauge if a person is truly passionate. Are they blowing smoke up their own butt? Because I tell them, you have to get in that mirror and be honest with yourself. What is your intent? What does your heart say to you? What are you trying to accomplish? Because so often people like blowing smoke up their own butt, but I tell them, if you're going to continue to do that, you might want to turn yourself into a hot air balloon, because at least you'll fly. Other than that, there's nothing going to come of it. You know what I mean? It's like you got to be truthful, because I keep talking about motivation. This is what I do. When you look in that mirror and you see negativity, right? You see everything negative about yourself, and everywhere you look, you'll see negativity. But if you look in that mirror and see the love that you've been designed in and the reflection of the image of who made you, you'll see that life is a blessing, and you'll see everything around you as a blessing as it truly is, because anything down here that encompasses his life, it's all been designed and it's all been placed here. We breathe the same air as the animals do, as the ocean, anything that lives, that breathes, we all breathe the same air, and it's been designed that way. It's, you know, so this is our time to praise. To me, I see our stories as testimonies of what he has done, and this is his process of weeding out getting his harvest for his wheat and his gold and his silver, you know, but it's an honor to think that he has value. He values us, even when we don't even value ourselves sometimes, but he has value in us, and he has purpose for our lives and a path for each one of us. And we just need to stay focused on him and continue to walk until, like the brother said earlier, ain't no retirement. It's until we get that call.
All right. I agree with you, my man, and I totally agree with you. This is the point in the show that I had to take control for a moment to find out where we at as far as time. We have actually a half hour related to the program. I don't know how you guys feel about it. Usually, we play music at this point in time. But the momentum of the show is going in a positive, upbeat manner. That information is being thrown out. We can go on, but I have to get the consensus across the board from everybody. Do we want to go into overtime? Or
brother, I would love to myself personally, but I have to meet up with my family, Fat Finger Productions.
Okay.
He's got some new beats, and I was supposed to be there at 6, but to me it was the greater good. It was the greater good. I felt the spirit, so it's like, hey, this is the greater good. It's for the flock because we all family down here, and we're trying to just open up their mindsets and show them that take the limitations that you put on yourself because take those off. We are free. We are free spirits. This is our only chance to live, flourish in the passions and the blessings and talents that he has given each one of us, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Adriana. Thanks a lot.
God bless you, brothers and sisters, family, man. I love
God
y'all. I love what y'all doing. And I'll definitely chime in with y'all more often and follow me. And like you said, it's a networking thing, you know. Y'all, you're out here. I'm definitely speaking well of y'all in San Bernardino County, you know what I mean, in the Dino, Southern California, you know what I mean. So, y'all, I'm making noise for y'all out here. Make some noise for me out there if you could, brothers and sisters.
All right.
Wait.
Say
we
that
can't
one more
do
time?
That over the air, Michelle. Michelle, you can't do that over the air. We can't do it over the air.
My
can't
bad.
Do it over
I'm
the
sorry.
Air. Okay.
I'm sorry.
But that's okay. That's okay. We'll make that possible, though.
Definitely.
I'll tell you like this. I've taken down your number. I'm going to take down Michelle's number, and we're going to keep it going. How about that?
All right. Thank you, brother.
Okay.
I appreciate it. And
yes.
Go ahead. Sorry.
I do that for protective reasons. Also, as a part of our marketing program too, we connect. Okay.
Yeah,
they don't
need 100 calls.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it and I respect the structure. And y'all have a wonderful day today. It was a pleasure to have spoken with each one of y'all. And I know that is in the control of the Father, you know, and we just continue to have courage to march down our path because it's all to glorify his name. So God bless y'all, family, and I love y'all.
Love you. Amen,
absolutely.
Brother.
Take care.
All right. Y'all have a great evening. Take care.
All right.
Bye-bye.
No problem. Michelle, do you have any closing statements?
Just make sure that you stay grounded in who it is that you are and what it is that you truly, truly want to do. Because even though we're all supposed to be doing something in the glory of God as a ministry, that doesn't mean that for you to be a minister, you to be on a pulpit. Sometimes you have some that want to sing. Sometimes you have some that are just musicians. Sometimes you just have some that are supposed to walk and talk to people or clothe people or so on and so forth. So if you really have to be honest with yourself if this is truly what you want to do. And if it's not music, find out and sit and think about it or test out different things and see what it is that you want to do. But make sure you're very, very educated on business because knowing the business side of it is important.
I can tell you like this, Michelle. Me personally, I'm also an artist, a musician. But I find myself in the passion of I just like the business of music. Everybody don't fall down that lane. Don't get me wrong. Just because they got the vocal skills or they got the rap skills to do it, everybody don't have that, you know, what it takes literally to get up there on that stage, the energy, what it do to entertain and prolong that entertainment for 2 and 3 an hour or two on that stage and then be able to get off that stage and then live the life with the public invading their property. So should also, I say this, figure out where it is that you fit in, and then stick your finger in the right part of the glove. It's simple as that. That's how it goes. Thank you, Michelle, for bringing it full course. Rodolph, you got some closing statements?
Well, you know what? I'm going to say it like this. God's got a plan. Hey, if it's meant, it will be. And you have to understand that sometimes it's just the pleasure of doing something musically, whether it's singing, rapping, or what have you. Take it like that. God's plan will take you further if it's meant to be. And, hey, you know, just don't forget who you are. And that's all I've got to say.
Well, I was trying to. My computer won't let me. When you say God's got a plan, it was something I posted on my wall. I thought that was very relevant to what you say. God had a plan before you were born. And that's reality. So, if it's part of his plan for you to be there, then you're going to do it. Also, even though, not one thing I can say, that God had a plan, but he did give you free will. You have to act. You have to act on things that he has put in place for you in order to bring that will about. Because if you're not falling on in the crowd in line with what he has, because don't get me wrong, he has a plan, and that plan, God have a plan A, plan B, plan C, because he can tell you, hey, you go this way, you went down the wrong way. It was your choice, but that plan, don't get me wrong, that don't mean the course wasn't already set out for you.
You know, what you're saying is this. The devil is also...
You ever play chess? You ever play chess?
Mm-hmm. Oh, my dad used to keep playing chess.
So you guys can play chess, right? Okay.
Yeah.
And think about it. I just want you to think about the mastermind. When we're playing chess, how we mastermind our strategy several moves ahead of what we're going to do so we can get checkmate. How much more powerful is the Almighty God? So if we can mastermind the way before and think about it, God already had a plan before we were born. So we make a mistake. Don't think he hadn't covered that in the plan.
All right.
He may have gave you a route. If you took this way, then these are your rewards. If you take this way, then that's your punishment.
mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I don't know how God thinks, but I'm just saying. I know he's
You're going to scare the young folks.
Sometimes when you don't get something right now, it's not necessary. It could be either you're not supposed to get it or you could be training so you know how to take care of it. It's like when perfect analogy that made it snap for me was the Steve Harvey book. I think it was Think Like a Man Too. And he said in his book, you know, he had his old car on center blocks in the driveway of his mother's driveway. And he was sitting there working at a job and would always go to his mom and say, oh, I'm about to get a car. I want to get this new car. I'm going to put some tires on it, so on and so forth. And the mother would just be like, eh. And every time he came to his mother and said that, his mother was just like, eh. So he finally asked her, why do you keep acting nonchalant about that? She said, well, you keep talking about this new car. Where are you going to put it? You have this old car sitting here on center blocks. Like, what are you going to do? What is your plan? What is it? You can't receive something if you don't know how to take care of it. And I think with a lot of people, they have to look at their life in that sense, too. Life in general is just a classroom. You just go through things, and you get taught in order to get you to the next level. You might not be on the stage quite yet because you're not ready. You don't know how to perform. You have to make sure God is just trying to give you a foundation in order for you to be able to go to the next level. So you'll be able, when you do reach that spotlight and you do get that money or do become famous or something like that, you know how to handle it. You can't be a depressed person on pills and smoking and drinking all day and then expect to make a million tomorrow. You can't take care of it. You can't handle it. You can't. Look at the greats that came before you, like Jimi Hendrix and, oh, I can't remember that. It was a white Caucasian rocker. She overdosed. I can't remember her name. She was in the 70s. But,
Janis Joplin?
Is that her name?
Janis Joplin.
Love the music. And you see a lot of these greats that could have been more, but they just couldn't handle it. So it could be a situation of you looking at other people's examples, and he's like, I don't want you to wind up like them. I need you to get your stuff together so that way you can build a strong foundation so you can get to the next level. That could be why you're not getting where you're at right now.
That's true. David Ruffin of the Temptations. You
mm-hmm.
know, I mean, there's been so many, you know, that Cobain, who was one of the grunge rockers up here in the Pacific Northwest,
mm-hmm.
he overdosed. You know, I mean, there's so many tragedies along the way because of the choices that they took, you
mm-hmm.
know, and that's part of knowing who you were when you woke up that morning, to know who you are when you come back home, you know. If the pressures get too much, well, you just have to call it like that and step back from it. You don't tranquilize or put yourself in medicated points so that you're doing what no longer is a pleasure. You know,
uh-huh.
maybe it's the road is too hard, you know. And that's something that people have to realize. Sometimes the road is harder than even imagined. And so you have to be prepared to understand it's like being a hobo. You know, you're going from place to place, and you have to learn how to survive in each individual place and then make it back home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the older you get, you realize you don't change. It's just the experiences that you have gone through that tried to change who you were when you began.
Mm-hmm.
Because one day you're going to sober up.
Don't get the wrong run up. You make a perfect example right there, what you're saying. You don't change just situations that try to change you. Think about Tina Turner. Tina Turner actually went through hell performing, to perform.
Mm-hmm.
But yet she lived her life outside of all of the hurdles that she did. She showed you her passion. She showed you her
mm-hmm.
life, where she really wanted to do. And then she obtained the business side of things and started to know who she was. And she even, to the point that she still had to turn the name, even though
mm-hmm.
I tried to take it back.
Exactly. But you know who's the opposite of that? Is Whitney Houston. See, you know, when
yeah,
she had the passion,
she loved it. Yeah.
But she got
yeah.
lost.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the drugs and the spotlight altered her perception. And she tried to come back, but it was too late.
Mm-hmm.
You know, see, so when we talk about the pitfalls, you know, we have to look at things like that. She lived the high life. And everything that came with it, the drugs, the, you know, the parties, this and that and the other, and she forgot who she was.
Mm-hmm.
She forgot who she was, and she forgot how fragile as human beings that each one of us that we are. And it was too late. She tried, but it was too late.
It was too late. And I think with a lot of people, I think with a lot of businesses, they feed off of naiveness, off of that innocence. You know what I'm saying? The
right.
innocence of wanting to get in and wanting to have a better life and the rest of that. I think a lot of companies feed off of that. But you have to settle and be one within yourself, and then. You won't be able, it will be, not saying that you won't be able to experience those experiences, but you won't be able to feed in it too quickly, if that makes sense. Sometimes my vernacular can be kind of shriveled up sometimes.
Oh, yeah, no.
Does that make sense?
You hit the nail on the head because you forget who you were. You forget
mm-hmm.
where you came from. You know, you start taking on a different attitude, and you start to thinking that you're above where you started from. But, you know, you can't take any of this with you. And so the realization of you didn't have to have everything to show the people. See, you get caught up in what the people see. Mm-hmm. You know, especially as an entertainer, you're supposed to, you know, if you're on the charts, you're supposed to have this house. You're supposed to have this car. You wear the jewelry. You wear the clothes and what have you. That's not real.
No, it's not. And that is one of the reasons why, and I know I'm going to get ridiculed for this, but that is one of the reasons why I am so glad that a lot of reality shows are starting to see that. Because if you look at how reality shows first started out with the Atlanta Housewives and the real stuff of Orange County and all that, you see them spending the lavish money, going on these trips and this, that, and the other. Look at season 2. Everything went downhill and reality set in. People going bankrupt. People losing their house. It's not reality. It's not. Half of them make the same amount of money you do. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, that's just like, okay, one of the characters, that Portia character in the Atlanta Housewives, getting divorced from her husband and then going and leasing the big house that she didn't need. And, you know, the whole point of it is she forgot where she came from. You know, she wanted to still live that lifestyle. And you know, how unhappy of a life that is, you know, just because you're wearing designer dresses and, you know, you've got the makeup and the hair and all of this, that's a very unhappy lifestyle. You know, the tears were real. You know?
Yeah.
And the part of it is that, you know, we all shed tears, but with the regret of not understanding who we are and where we started, you're going to shed more tears. Because coming back down is a hard, hard reality.
And you start seeing who your real friends are, who your real family is, who are really there for you. Those are the ones that you shouldn't let go of. Those are the ones that you start seeing. Because when you start having, oh, you know, I like you. Oh, you know, maybe we should do this. Let me borrow a dollar. This, that, and the other. As soon as you go broke and the ship starts rocking, oh, I don't know. I don't have time for you. Oh, you know, I got something else that I have to do. Or some of them just don't pick up their phone.
Exactly. I tested a lady once, and we were touring and what have you, and I met this lady and what have you, and I said, hey, you know what? I don't have any money, but I'm hungry. Would you buy me a hamburger? And she said, I don't buy men food. And I said to myself, if you can't get a hamburger, I can't spend any time with you because I realize you're a taker.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not really a friend, because the one thing, if someone comes to you that's supposed to be your friend and tells you that they're hungry, a hamburger is the cheapest thing that on any menu.
Dollar. 99 cents.
Exactly. And if you put them to that test and they don't come up, run.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
if you lose everything, you will starve with those surrounding of those type of people.
Absolutely.
You know, and the music industry is that cold because fans are that fickle. You can't necessarily count on a fan to be a friend.
No. No. No.
Just like you said, when the ship is rocking, they'll be there. But let that ship stop rocking. You'll find out that they'll be jumping on somebody else's boat.
They sure will. They sure
yeah,
will.
You know, and like I say, you know, that's why you can't forget who you woke up in the morning and that person, that child, that, you know, where you came from, you know, and remember that, hey, guess what? That's who you are at the end of the day. You just maybe grown up a little bit, and you might have a bank account. You know, but you're still that same person, and we're all, you know, we're not perfect. So, hey, get that parachute so if you start falling, you have to soften that landing. You know, I mean, Method Man, I remember they showed his house on television, and it was just an ordinary, everyday house in the neighborhood. And my son said to me, Dad, look at Method Man's house. I said, you know what? He probably paid cash for that house. He was going to keep that house. He's got home. He could always go home.
That's what I said about when people were cracking on Kendrick Lamar when he bought his house straight cash. And everybody's like, why didn't you buy that cheap house? Why didn't you buy something else? I'm sitting here like, he paid cash for his house, people. Half of y'all living in apartments. Half of y'all about to get evicted tomorrow. So what are you buying in his business about buying a house straight cash for? He has something, all he has to do is pay taxes? What? Seriously?
Reuben Stoddard did the same thing.
Yeah,
he's living. He went back home. He's just like he was before he went on American Idol.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so see, money doesn't make you; you make money.
Yeah.
And so, if you can remember that one factor, you'll survive the game, because it's not like you have to show the people that you've made money. All you got to do is live your life. Michael Jackson is a prime example. He couldn't go anywhere. He had all the fame, and everybody thought he had the fortune. But when you have to rent out a mall to go shopping, when you have to rent out a theater to go to the movies, when you have to rent out a theme park so you can go ride the rides, what is your overhead?
Yeah.
You know? So fame is not necessarily what it's cracked up to be. So, you know, if you want to be that large, think about the overhead. Think about, hey, is it cracked up to be what you think it's going to be, or do you just want to make a living and have some of the pluses in the living, such as over minimum wage? You know what I mean? So that you have a yearly income of, let's say, $50,000 to $80,000 to $100,000 a year. Look at it in that projection, rather than in I want $1 million.
Absolutely.
You know, and then you have a chance to be a quality entertainer because you have a goal, you have an understanding of I'm going to make money. I'm not trying to make a killing and hit the lottery. If it happens, thank you, Jesus. But if not, I've got a living going. I've made a yearly income that, you know, in this business, by setting up a business, and like you said, having the tax numbers and the W-2s and what have you, you then can establish credit. And that can buy you the car with a down payment and making payments.
Mm-hmm.
You know, see, so when we say establishing a business and getting all your ducats in a row, those are the things that are going to make you stable in this industry rather than, you know, just flying out there and being famous and casting your fate to the wind like a, you know, Wesley Snipes who went to prison for tax evasion. You know, look at, who's that, Laura Hill?
Lauren Hill. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Lauren Hill. She has tax problems. You know, hey, we can keep going down the list because there, in the history of the music industry, there are so many casualties of famous people. Sammy Davis Jr. You see, the lifestyle, the fame, and he died broke, you know, Ed McMahon. And he wasn't a musician, but you thought Ed McMahon would have been rich all those years he was there.
Mm-hmm.
See, it's the pitfalls of understanding the lifestyle and the women and divorces and the child support and all those kind of things. They become larger and more relevant. You must conduct yourself as a human being with more morals, with character. Those are all the things that are going to get you into at least a decent relationship with business in this music industry. Because you won't have catch-22.
No.
And as Poetic always says, what is that poetic? Between a rock and a hard spot?
Yes.
So, you know, when we think about it.
Between a rock and a hard place.
Yeah. See, I mean, see, that's the funny part. You can climb up the ladder, but you can find yourself in that position.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're just going to take more money if you got a bunch.
And not only that, you also have to be careful how you treat everybody, because if you're in the hair industry, it's small. If you're in the entertainment industry, it's small. Film is small. Everybody knows everybody and networks with everybody. So you have to treat everybody like you treat yourself. Don't burn no bridge. Don't burn no bridges. Because
that's a whole different
thing. Amen.
You're right.
You can say that again and again and again. Believe me, that is taking
care of you. Hey, next Wednesday, we should have her on there talking about burning bridges.
Oh,
that would be
child.
A heck of a good show.
It would.
We call it don't burn no bridges.
Yeah, because they'll come back and bite you in the you know where.
It sure will, because I've had a lot of, with Hand Tracks Productions, we started out like, I'd say 3 years ago, even though I've assisted with other camps and stuff like that since 2004. But to see some of them when they first hear you, but they haven't heard of you before, some people that you probably admire since your youth, when you finally talk to them, they're just as mean and nasty. But then after a while, you start hearing your phone ring, be like, hey, how are you, da-da-da, be like, whatever, what do you want?
Exactly.
How can I help you?
Exactly.
You gotta be careful. And then you have some that do bad business, and then they switch from company name to company name to company name to company name. Nobody's going to take you seriously. Oh, yeah, we need to have a conversation about that. You need to set that up.
Exactly. You know, the thing about it is that, you know, that burning bridges, there's so many thoughts about that because, especially in the hip-hop game, there's a lot of disrespect.
Yes.
And the egos of a lot of the young artists is what stops them because of the fact they cannot take constructive criticism.
Mm-hmm.
And see, that is important in this music industry because it's necessary. Sometimes critiquing what they're doing or their product or how their stage presence or a lot of anything that has to do with them being the entertainer are necessary. And if they're not willing to have an open mind and respect, they're going to be passed over.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's just like working a job. You tell your boss, hey, I don't think it's me. You find somebody else to do it. You ain't going to have a job.
You sure ain't.
So when you start thinking about this business, it is a business, and they do have a job they must do, and someone is going to pay them a salary to do it, whether it's mm-hmm. the promoter, the label, whoever. They're being hired on to do a job.
Uh-oh.
Is that
I'm letting y'all know. That's Quinn.
What you letting us know? That it's almost time?
No, that was Quinn saying, not me, brother.
Well, Quinn can say. You know, I got love for my man, Quinn. Quinn is he's my homie. You know that. Let's hear from Quinn. Quinn, you there?
Oh, yeah, man. I'm right here, man. I hear y'all, man. I love that, man. Hey, I love all y'all, man. My man, Rodo. My man, Poetic.
We about to close out, though.
I love
y'all,
man.
Well, we appreciate it, and we got love for all of y'all. Michelle, I want to hear from you next Wednesday. Poetic,
oh, yeah.
You know, we got much love going on here. I know we only got, 30 seconds left? You do what you need to do.
Yeah, 30 seconds. Michelle, I did take down your number. If you don't mind, I will be giving you a call right after the show. Okay?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
All right. Good night, everybody. Really appreciate y'all chiming in at Hip Hop National. Go to www.hiphopnational.com so we can play your music and support it right here on the program.
Good night, God bless.
God bless.
HipHopNational.com.
Thanks for coming along for the ride for another tour through the new music industry on Hip Hop National Radio.
Hip Hop National Radio. Hip Hop. Hip Hop. Hip Hop.